Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 16 as we finish up this chapter. And next week we'll move to 17, but we're in 16. The title of my message is called Failure, or the Fall Forecast, rather. The Fall Forecast. We're going to look at verses 29 through 33 in our time together this morning. John chapter 16. Struggling a bit with my voice, so pray it makes it. Some of you are going, no, we'll get out earlier if it doesn't. Oh. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are thankful to be able to come into this place and to sing your praise. You are a good God. We thank you for your love, your unfailing love, your faithful love to us, Lord, and how you continue, Lord, to show your love by way of provision and giving us power and your presence and peace. And Lord, to help us keep perspective, Lord, our desire today is to open your word so that we may know you, so that we may understand, Lord, more fully your will, and so that your spirit would speak to each one of us right where we're at, Lord, and help us, Father, to be those who are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we read here today are not the words of men. They are the words of the living God, our Creator. This is the manual, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, that we might have the abundant life that you designed and desire for us. So it's for that reason, Lord, that we open it with our hearts open today, with our ears open, that we might hear, that we might heed what your Spirit would say to us. Teach us, Lord, and draw those that are perhaps here today who have not yet given their lives to you. Draw those to yourself, Lord, and we'll give you the thanks for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at verse 29 here, and let's read the text, and then we'll go back and comment. His disciples said to him, "See now that you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and is now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What a great text. As we open it this morning, we're made aware here of something that, we all have struggled with at one time or another. And as long, I think, as we are on planet Earth, we will always struggle with. And what we see here in our text is Jesus talking to his disciples about a topic that's pretty disappointing to them. And, well, it's not something we like to talk about either. What is that? Failure. Failure. When's the last time you went around and said, "Guess what? I failed English." We don't like to talk about that, because we feel so bad about that. But you see, what Jesus is going to teach us here is failure should be for us as believers in Christ sanctified, in that it is never the undertaker. Failure is the instructor. We grow through failure. You see, the key is when we fail, and we all do and we all have, is getting back up. Remember years ago, that commercial? Some of you might remember it. This lady, she had this little life alert type thing on. She's out in the kitchen, you know, and And then all of a sudden she falls down, and then she pushes the button. She goes, I've fallen and I can't get up. You need life alert, you know, and they have that little thing. And then somebody, you know, comes out to help and that kind of a thing. Here the disciples are in for a fall. Their faith is about to be shaken to its very core. Doubt is going to fill their minds. And they're going to fail and fail miserably. But the fall would not destroy them permanently. They would get up again. You see, they're going to stand strong again. This failure is not final. You see, when we think about failures, isn't that something that life, I mean, we've all been there. And we all start out that way, don't we? I mean, listen, how many of you, when you first started walking, just said, okay, I'm done with this crawling thing. Got up, started walking, never looked back. Hey, what's happening? No coffee table, no falling, just boom. You were walking, no problem. And from the time you got up that day till this day, guess what? You've never fallen. Is anybody here like that? Raise your hand. I'd like to see who you are. I didn't think there was anybody here like that. The first time you tried to swim, mom and dad throw you in when you were a baby without any kind of floating things or anything. Just go, here you go. I mean, I remember as a young kid trying to swim. Not easy. I drank a lot of the pool water, you see. First time you took a baseball bat in your hand and dad pitched you the ball. Did you hit it first time? Maybe you were lucky and did, but how'd you do second and third time up? Did you miss any? Yeah, you miss them. And I'll bet you that most of you, well, maybe today you might, when you were in kindergarten and your first report card, probably most of us didn't make straight A's on your first report card. I'm ashamed to say I didn't make straight A's on any report card I ever got. Thank God he saved me because some are slow to learn, you know. And I'm certain of this. Not all of us have maintained a perfect witness since we came to Jesus, have we? We've fallen down. We've failed. We've misrepresented him. We have been disappointed ourselves with how we have performed for him, you see. These disciples were well aware of the fact of failure. But I have good news for you today. Failure, again, you can get back up and have a deep sense of peace and victory coming out on the other side of that difficulty. And that's what the text before us speaks of. These disciples, well, it's been a process, hasn't it? Jesus has been talking to them, speaking to them about his death. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to die for them. Here they are. They've left the upper room. This is called the upper room discourse because most of what Jesus has shared with these disciples is done exclusively in a kind of an intimate place with them, you see. That Passover night is when it started. Judas left the room and Jesus began talking to them in chapter 13. He loved them and he showed them, as I loved you, as he washed their feet, so you should love one another. Then in chapter 14, Jesus said, we saw him say, let's get up and go from here. And so chapter 15 and chapter 16 are all spoken after Passover and as they're walking through the city to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has said a lot of things to them that they didn't understand, at least at that moment. In fact, You remember, if you remember the conversation that he's been having with them, you'll see several times one of the disciples have piped up and interrupted the conversation as he has been teaching. But now we read here, as we come to our text, finally, after all the misunderstanding, these disciples think, we got it. And there in verse 29, his disciples said to Jesus, "See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Guess what, Jesus? Good news for you. I know you've been a little frustrated with us in the past, but we got it. We completely and totally get it now. I don't know if you noticed with me when we read, Jesus immediately follows their bragging with, "Guys, you're still not getting it." And he gives us three principles here about human failure relationally and how to deal with failure when we come upon it. You see, as we look at these disciples, it's very instruction, and it gives us instruction rather and direction. When we walk with the Lord and live in relationship with Him as to how to maintain an open channel and to be that one who can grow through it instead of just go through it. What do we see here in our text? Well, three principles. Number one is our faith, something we learn about life. Our faith is unreliable. They're bragging. "We know. We believe. We've got it together." That's their declaration, isn't it? I mean, they think they've got it. It's been a little cryptic previously. They admit that. They didn't always understand. They didn't always connect the dots. We remember in verse 16 when they were actually talking among themselves, "A little while and you will see me, and again a little while you won't see me, and then you'll see me again because I go to the Father." And some of his disciples said, "What is this that he says, 'a little while'?" And they began to talk among themselves. Well, they thought they were far enough away or speaking in quiet enough voices that Jesus couldn't hear them. And perhaps even that is the case. He didn't have to hear you. Can I tell you right now, Jesus doesn't have to hear you speak audibly to know what you're thinking. So Jesus did not have to hear them speak to know what they were thinking and talking about. And when he calls them on the carpet and says, "Hey, what is this a little while thing that you're talking about?" Suddenly, something dawns on them. The light goes on. He gives the illustration of the woman with sorrow, you know, and goes through the birth pangs and how your sorrow at my death will be turned to joy. You see, he gave that picture, remember, last time together. And by the way, since then, I've got to see that lived out. I had a grandson. Yeah, I have a little grandson, little Elliot Leon Davenport. A little distracted the last few days with him. He was born at 12:54 on Saturday. And so, that's a.m. And so, 5 pounds, 8 ounces, by the way, and 9.9 Apgar, for those of you ladies that want to know. I've learned some stuff over the years. He's the tiniest baby I've ever seen, you know, in our family so far, but he's got a full head of dark hair. And just anyhow, back to the message. It's hard. But here they say, "Now you're speaking plainly. Now we understand," because they caught the illustration. And because of his, you know, confronting them and talking to them about what they were mumbling about to one another, suddenly it all comes together and they say, "Now we know that you know," because I don't know how you could have heard us, "all things." Man, you're like smart. You'd think they would have got that a little sooner, but you know, all I got to do is look in the mirror. And sometimes I'm slow to get it. And so they finally make this very bold statement. Now you are trusted by us. You know that we know what's going on, and we don't have to question you anymore. We don't have to wonder about you anymore. We totally get it. You might remember another disciple, probably a little bit before this, who came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I know you're talking about dying, and I'm going to go with you. And I want you to know that if all the rest of these guys flake out, you can trust old me, Peter. Remember, you called me Rocky? My name Rocky. I'm Rocky, yeah. So listen, the other guys may flake out, may give up, may falter in their faith, but Lord, I will not falter in my faith. And Jesus said, no, you're going to die. And he says, no, Lord, you don't know me like I know me. I'm going to live up to that name you gave me, and I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to be tough. I'll die with you if I need to, okay? Trust me, Lord, on this one. You see, a lot of times we think we know ourselves. We think that, you know, in fact, we ask each other, so what do you think? You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you think. What matters is what God thinks, okay? What men think, I mean, they think this, they think that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to think. In fact, we could use a lot more of that today. Thinking was not a bad thing. But we always need to, when it push comes to shove, you see, when we're making life decisions and looking at how we should go in a certain direction, we need to say, what's God say about it? That's the bottom line. Because these disciples thought that they had it together. And now they think, here's what they're thinking right now. They're thinking that, okay, Jesus, we get it. You're going to die, sorrow, birth pains, labor. Then you're going to rise from the dead. And then as soon as you rise from the dead, you're going to set up your kingdom. We missed that before. We didn't know you were going to die. But now we understand you're going to die. It's getting pretty clear to us. And then as soon as you rise again from the dead, you're going to set up your kingdom. We don't know why you're going to die exactly, but we're going with it. That's what they thought. And so they thought they had it all dialed in. You know, we can get the same way. We can say like them, we believe in God. It's a great thing to say. We know and understand certain fixed theological truths. That's a good thing as well. But be careful. Be careful when you think you got it all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted and have it together. The Bible warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 16, another very familiar passage. A pride, the writer says, goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Make sure that what you believe is what the Bible is teaching and what Jesus says. I've met people that say, hey, now that I'm a Christian, and there are those out there that would teach this, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of your problems go away. It's from that day on, your theme song is, don't worry, be happy. And man, that's what it's like to be a Christian. And listen, you know what? You're not going to be sad another day in your life. All your bills are going to be paid no matter how much you spend. Sun is always going to shine. If you want something, you just blab it and grab it. You just name it and claim it. Prosperity for the rest of your life financially, easy street is what it's going to be. And you know what? God's going to do a miracle every day of your life. Have you had your miracle today? And there are those that anticipate you say, absolutely. Okay, so maybe you did have a miracle today. They come tomorrow. Did you have a miracle today? Absolutely. Was it the same one as yesterday? Yeah. I got up. Listen, if it happens every day, chances are it's not a miracle, right? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't work miracles, but we don't follow miracles. We follow God. And my question would be is, if somebody asked me, hey, did you have a miracle today? If I didn't, is it a failure in some way? And I'm let down and disappointed, so I go, you know what? No miracle today, God. I'm packing my marbles and going home because, you know, I expected a miracle and you didn't do what I wanted you and thought you should do. And I've been taught to say that a miracle should happen every day and it hasn't. So I'm done with this God stuff. You see, you got to be careful that you don't just believe what people tell you or certain parts of the Bible when it comes to the promises of God. Because Jesus says right here, in this world you will have miracles every day. What are you going to have? That's a promise. Isn't it a promise? It's a promise. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Prosper and be healthy and wealthy. And all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Tribulation, persecution. Any of those things sound fun to you? What's that speak of? There's going to be problems as a Christian. And there will be tests. And in those tests, and when the difficulties come our way and the miracles don't happen and our expectations aren't met in what we hoped or thought God would do in our timing, what happens? Do we quit? Do we give up? Or do we trust? Continue to truck along, keeping our eyes on Him. See, these guys made a great profession. Do you now believe? Guys, you think that you in your mind, once you set and determined to do it, that's why when people say, you know what, kids, you got to believe in yourself. Well, what happens when you fail yourself? Then who do you believe in? That's a faulty system. Because when I fail and I believed in myself and I believed that I was going to be this and I believed that the door was going to open for that and all that stuff comes crumbling down, then what do? You're done. You get depressed. You failed. You're a failure. See, it's not long after you fail and fail and fail and you determined to do better on your diet today and you didn't. You determined to do better on that exercise program today and you didn't. You said, tomorrow that's going to be the day and you failed and you fail. So what happens? I'm a failure. You can't live long with that before you become depressed. You become hopeless. You see, our faith, precious saints, God isn't surprised when Peter failed. God wasn't surprised. These guys said, we got it, Lord. We believe. We got it all together. We know what's going to happen now. And he says, guys, can I tell you something? I know this goes against everything in you and with all the determination. And he wasn't mocking them or belittling them, but he was just preparing them because you guys think you're strong and can by your mindset and by your sheer dogged determination, you think you can fix it and keep it moving. Can I tell you? You're going to fail. Now, precious saints, failure, second principle here, is understandable. Our faith is unreliable. Failure is understandable. The hour is coming. The hour is coming. And now is. In fact, it has already come that Jesus says, you will be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. And yet, guys, hey, guess what? Good news for you. It all doesn't depend on you. I don't need all my homies and all my boys around to kind of keep things going on, man. In fact, my Father, I'm not alone. I'm never alone. Isn't that good to know? Saint, you need to know today, I know you feel alone sometimes. You feel like nobody cares. You feel like your husband doesn't get it. Your kids don't appreciate it. You feel like the wife, doesn't care at all or understand the struggles you're facing. You feel like the boss is an idiot, and I don't know how he could be so insensitive. And I'm alone in this, and nobody understands. I try to talk to people, but they don't get it either. I feel alone. But know this, Jesus said, I'll never, no, never leave you or forsake you. Amen. It tells you there's times where your friends will scatter, maybe. Those things happen. That's what happened here. People will fail you. They will. They struggle. They're like you. They're frail like you. That's why they fail you. Their faith is not always what it should be and could be. And even though they think they understand, sometimes as you share their heart, they honestly, with a good heart, think they understand. They start talking to you about stuff, and you're going, oh, you're trying to be nice, but you're going, he doesn't get it at all. See, the disciples think the fog is lifting and Jesus is going, you guys don't get it at all. You don't understand it at all. You don't have it together at all. And that's evidenced when he rises from the dead. And he cruises into a town on his way to Emmaus, and he catches a couple of disciples, and he kind of keeps them from recognizing him. When you're God, you can do that. And he begins to dialogue with them. You know how it goes. These two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't know he had risen from the dead. And he walks to them incognito and he says, hey guys, how's it going? Now I'm paraphrasing that. I don't think it's in any translation exactly like that. So I'm going to try and find it. They respond, are you a stranger around here? You must be a... the new kid in town. You must be the new kid. I mean, come on. Don't you know? Haven't you heard how that Jesus, the one that we believed in, the one that we had hoped would redeem Israel, how he died, and it's been 3 days that he has been dead? We had hoped that he would be the one. You see, now we're not any longer. Our hope is gone. It's over. It's hopeless. He's dead. He died. He's in a tomb. It was sealed. We were there. We believed at one time, but see, when these kind of things happen, the question is do you really believe? Do you honestly believe when the clouds come and the storm comes and it's confusing because it doesn't make any sense to you? That's where these disciples were. The Lord understood that. I'm so glad about that because you know what? I find myself there. You ever find yourself there? Aren't you glad the Lord understands? He's not like kicking the dirt in heaven going, idiots, idiots, idiots. How did we make so many idiots? I can't believe, These guys, such failures. I mean, such losers. I mean, I'm so disappointed in them. You know what? I'm not saying it doesn't break his heart when we don't trust him. But what I am saying is, he's not kicking the dirt saying, idiots, idiots, idiots. He's up there, just he's in here, just loving on us and seeking to whisper and speak to us. And that still, small voice draws. into his presence. See, when we think we have it down, one author puts it this way. He says, there's a window in our hearts through which we view God. And at one time, the window, was very clear and God was very crisp in our view. But then something happens. He goes on, a pebble strikes the window and it shatters. The pebble of pain shatters the perspective we had and what we thought would be. And now we look at everything through a fractured lens and things aren't quite so clear as they used to be. What do we do? Some of you are in that storm presently. You thought so clearly things were going to work out in one way, you see. But now you find yourself wondering. Those faith-shaking storms that cause you to question, will I ever come out the other end? Is this ever going to be over? Are things ever going to change? He knows. And he understands. You see, our faith is unreliable, like these disciples. Their failure, understandable because of the difficulties. The Lord isn't surprised when we fail. He knows our frames are simply dusty frames. He understands. But in the face of all that, we read our future here is unmistakable. Unmistakable. Now we come to the blessing part. You see, they start out bragging, then they're blundering. That's what usually bragging leads to, by the way. Start bragging how smart you are and how well you know God and how faithful you are and all the people you saved and you, what you did for God. And you ever been around somebody like that? They're kind of excited about the Lord, but me always comes in the main view. Bragging leads to blundering. And that's what happened here. But here's the good news. Ultimately, God will bring blessing. He can do so even out of our blundering. How's he do that in this case? He says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now he wraps up the entire upper room discourse with these words. In the world, you're going to have trouble, but in me, you will have peace. In the world, you will experience problems and tribulations, but in me, you will overcome all the problems that could ever come your way. And there'll be purpose and power to get through the tribulations. I love that. God doesn't candy coat it. He doesn't tell us that everything is going to be easy once we respond to the Lord. He tells us the trouble that will come our way, the storms that we will experience, that clouds will fog and at times darken the path before us. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus and keep getting up when we fail and falter, what's he promise? You're not a victim today. You're not a victim. You know what? The enemy would have you believe that if you're stuck in some sin, if you're stuck in some situation that just is this driving you crazy, the enemy would have you believe you can't change. You'll never be able to change. You might as well even forget trying. You ever done that to you? God, help me in this area. Lord, help me deal with this smoking. You know, I feel convicted that it's a sin for me. Maybe not be a sin for everybody, that's questionable, but for me it's sin and I know it's wrong. And God, I need you to cleanse me of it. I confess it and I ask you to help me out of this. I feel stuck here, Lord. But you said I'm not stuck. fact, you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You say, yeah, I'm going to have trouble with it, but there's peace in Christ. And there's power to be a conqueror rather than a victim. You see, here's what happens. So you get up, you go, that's it. You throw all the cigarettes away. Not in the trash can. You flush them one by one down the toilet. Trash can's too convenient. So you throw them all away. You flush them. You get rid of them in that way. Or you burn them up in the fireplace. You know, that's whatever you want to do with them that way. But get them out of your possession. You go, that's it, I'm done. But have you ever said that? And then you wake up the next day and then you go out and you don't go buy a pack of cigarettes, but you know a friend that smokes and you happen to just want to visit him. I'm really not going to smoke. I just want to go visit my friend and tell him about Jesus. That's what the devil will do to you. Yeah, go tell him about Jesus. And there he is smoking. And you're going, hi, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. And you know what? Could you breathe some of that smoke my way? I mean, then the next thing you know, you grab a cigarette, and the next thing you know, you're going, oh, man, Lord, I failed. And Satan's right there. He entices you and says, come on, come on, come on. And it's sort of like the person that's putting the carrot in front of the donkey. Come on, come on. The donkey's following the carrot. Come on, come on. And right over the cliff, the donkey goes following the carrot. And that's what Satan does with us. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, do it, do it, do it. And boom, you go down. And he goes, idiot, moron. You might as well not even try to get up. Forget God. What kind of a Christian are you? You ever had that happen? I'm going to go to church. What? Hypocrite? Why would you? Who would want anything to do with the likes of you in church? Oh, you're going to go play the Christian thing now. God doesn't want to hear from you. Look at how miserably you failed him. In fact, he's not very happy with you. He's upset with you, and you better be really sorry for several days so you slip into a deep depression. Okay, I'm sorry, Lord, really, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord. I've forgiven you. I know, but I don't know. I'm just so sorry. I just seem to get... No, you're forgiven. I died on the cross for that. I know you died on the cross, but it's so precious to me, and I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. I'm just oppressed, Lord. I want to read your word, but if I read your word, you know, then I'm a hypocrite. And see, that's the whispering of the enemy. Your Bible says, if you confess your sin, he is what? God is faithful and he's just. He demands justice, but you can't bring it about. He's faithful. He's just to do what? To forgive you and beyond that, for that particular sin, to cleanse you from what? All things that are not right in your life. The door open, come back. Get up. You're down. Get up. There's a future. Even though you fail, guess what? The future hasn't failed. You may falter temporarily, but guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he who has begun a good work in you will continue to complete it until he comes. When does it depend on you? Never. You see, all that God asks you to do is get up, get back into the Word, remain in fellowship, call sin, sin, don't blame, do the blame game, don't make excuses, and just follow Jesus. Folks, that's what it's all about. God wants to bless you. He loves you, and when you come boldly before his throne, you find what? Grace to help to meet the need. Failure with the Christian is never final. That toddler, he's walking pretty soon. Oh, he's toddling initially, but the next thing you know, he's walking. The next thing you know, he's running, or she's running and jumping. The next thing you know, I mean, they're doing all kinds of crazy things. They're swimming and you know, riding the bikes and doing all kinds of stuff. They're hitting more than they're missing when it comes to getting up at the plate. But it didn't happen overnight. It's a process. And the key thing that Jesus is saying, the storm's coming. Struggles are happening. You're going to fall. You're going to be scattered. But when this happens, don't forget what I've said to you. Don't forget what he said to you. What he's begun, he will continue to do. Just get back up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the work of your Spirit. We thank you for the peace that you promised to us. We have peace today, not because we have it together, but because we have believed and put our faith in a God who is together. Lord, we don't look to ourselves. We'd be foolish to do so, Lord. We are aware and increasingly aware that without you, we can do nothing but fail. But we thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it's for that reason, Lord, that we ask you to strengthen us today in our resolve. Lord, when we fall, when we fail, God, remind us to get back up. Our faith is in you, not in us. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that have not yet given their lives to you, that they would not walk out of these doors. May they come in today and their failures are so great and the pain is so deep, Lord, that they feel that they could never change. God, may they come today and put their hope in the one who can change them, and that is in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Draw those that don't know you to yourself, and we'll give you the thanks for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.